Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for listening. This is Dr. Gary Penn. Welcome to my podcast. I know, it's been a while since I have reached out and done a podcast, but I can give you a lot of excuses. I love doing these, but let's just say that here I am today, and hope you enjoy this. So, psychology, as you know, is a lot of people come in to see us, to see psychologists, therapists, for a variety of reasons. I have issues with family, career, depression, anxiety. A lot of the theorists, a lot of the really giants, were interested in world events as well. Certainly, Carl Rogers was very interested in the psychology and the connection to world events. And I know that Jung thought about it and Freud thought about it. Certainly when they were around, it was a lot going on in the world, a lot going on in the 1930s, 1920s. And Freud, being a Jew in Germany, was certainly, in Austria, was certainly very much affected by world events. It's fascinating to me when we try to understand the world, try to understand how things impact us. Excuse me. And we try to base that on we try to understand that, and we make decisions on things. I'll give you something very just simple. I have a friend of mine who was living in San Francisco. And this friend became, he wasn't from San Francisco. In fact, he was from Los Angeles. And then he moved to San Francisco. He was there for a long time, long enough that he actually became a San Francisco Giants fan. This was in the 1990s. And he was in the 1990s, early 2000s. And this was when Barry Bonds was really hitting balls like crazy. And he was getting the home run mark, the most home runs in a season. He was breaking that, shattering that. And eventually he, which is one of the hallowed records of baseball, and then he actually surpassed Hank Aaron as the person who has hit the most home runs in a career. So he really, really just flew past Hank Aaron. And I was outraged, right? I was saying, well, it's not fair to make a comparison. He's cheating. He's obviously using steroids. And my friend just completely supported Bonds, completely supported him. And I don't think that he supported steroids. I don't think that he liked it necessarily, but he wouldn't go there. He let how he felt, that the fact that this was now his home team, the San Francisco Giants, and he was a San Francisco Giant fan, he let that influence him. And so he was supporting him not on anything other than he wanted his team to do well and he wanted to win. So that's a very simplistic idea of how our psychology allows us to understand world events. On a more national level, I'm very confused by what's happening politically in our world, in our country. Now, this isn't necessarily it may sound like I'm anti-Republican, but I'm really not. Although I would say that's not necessarily fair. I would say that today I am, but not in general. I think a lot of people I know are looking for a Republican that they could believe in, right? That someone that they believe in and they think would be a good, let's just look at national office, would be a good president. I think we're looking for that on the Democratic side as well. But a lot of people who are independent like myself Won a good, like, in a hockey, you know, Stanley Cup final, or a basketball or a football. You want a good game. You want two really great teams fighting it out, and may the best person win. I think that's true with politics as well. But it really confuses me, and but not maybe as much as you would think, but why people vote support things that are against their own interest. I don't understand that. I don't understand why people vote and believe in things that are against their own interest. Why, for example, do some people deny climate change? Right? Why would, let's say, someone living wherever, why would they say, I just don't believe in climate change, and that it's caused, that it's man, that man-made, that the fact that the part of it is caused by humans? And why would someone not believe that? Now, you could say, well, Gary, why would someone believe that? Well, someone would believe that I'm not interested in believing in climate change because I decided to believe in climate change, right? I'm not interested in believing there's no climate change just because there's no climate change. I honestly don't know if there's climate change, right? I don't know based on Gary, right? I don't understand. I wake up in the morning, I do my job, I read the things that I read. I don't read about climatology. I don't read about that stuff. I don't understand the science behind it. But I've chosen to believe the scientists. That's all that my decision is based on, right? Not anything other than science, because I'm not a climatologist. So when I read that, or I read about this part of it, I understand that, let's say, 97, 98% of climatologists believe that climate change is a fact, that humans have a substantial cause for it, and it is a existential threat to our world. I believe them. I'm not into, I don't want to believe them because you could say, well, I'm a liberal, a Democrat, or an independent, or anything like that. I want to believe them because I think these are just people who go to school for a lot of years and have the programs on their computer, and they have the statistics and can figure things out that would make sense to me. So why would anyone not believe them? What is in it? What is in it for them? And it's confusing to me, because then what these a lot of citizens on our planet, what they decided to do is they decided to make this position a political position, and then they want to believe in the personality of the politician or the media person that is telling them that it's not true, that humans have no factor, that there really isn't climate change, that there was an ice age, you know, millennials ago, and that this is just a natural course of history, and the fact that we don't have to worry about the carbon footprint that we make as an individual, or as a city, or as a nation, or as a planet. It's not consequential to the course of events that will unfold. They decide to believe in the person. The person. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mitch McConnell, whoever these people may be, they decide to believe in the individual rather than the science. And I'm fascinated as to why would someone do that? Why would someone make that decision? And we could see examples like this all of the time, right? Let's take the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Again, it's very puzzling to me that why, for example, there's no Obamacare in Mississippi, right? So we know that Mississippi is one of the poorest states country, if not the poorest state. And the citizens of Mississippi, very poor, overall. Certainly, they don't have as much wealth as you would think as in San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York or Boston. They're supporting their governor, Bobby Jindal, not allowing Obamacare in their state. And so all of these people are going without health care. And why? Why would they make that decision when they could basically have health care that's paid for, they can take care of themselves and their family? Why would people vote against their interest? Again, it's fascinating to me. And I think there's this idea that they believe these stories that people tell them, that it's the government intruding on your life, that it's going to be death panels. And so people scare you, don't they? We get scared, and then we decide that we want to believe, again, these people. So when we outsource what it is that we want to believe in, it's a very kind of parental kind of thing, right? So if I grow up and my parents tell me something and they're, you know, virulent racist and they say this against blacks and Jews or something like that, I'll believe them. And, you know, and if you believe, if your parents tell you that you should be Jewish or you should be Christian or Muslim, you'll believe them and that's what you'll follow. So what a lot of people do, it's an interesting thing that they say, I don't want, you know, other people to control me, and yet you make decisions on that idea based on what other people tell you, whether it's Rush Limbaugh, whether it's the media people, whether it's the governors or the politicians of the state. It's fascinating to me. So here we have Mississippi that's poor. People are not doing well. And yet they vote against health care. Right? Fascinating. We know, for example, that and a lot of that the red states are actually worse off. They don't have nearly as much wealth and resources as the blue states. But if you ask the red states to have a more a tax base where the top 1% pay a little more than they have been, the population, which is the 99% of the people who live, right, say, no, we don't want that, right? We just don't want that. Now, I don't understand why any Democrat would want that either, right? So, you see, we have a situation where, again, it's this idea of big government spending, and people feel like we have this need to be independent, and yet we trust other people. If it would make sense, I would want as little taxes as possible. I think anyone would want to be taxed as little as possible. You would think that would be true, that if I make $1,000, I want to keep as much of the $1,000 as I can keep, right? So if you tax me $100, so I tax 10%, I want to keep $900. Do I want to keep $800? No. I want to keep $900. Do I want to keep $700? No. Do I want to keep $600? No. I want to keep all $1,000 of that. So everyone should be for low taxes, right? Everybody should be. So it's not a situation of the Democrats having all this money. It's not about that. It's about what works. If lower taxes, right, if lower taxes would stimulate the economy, that more money would end up coming in, and the governments and the states that have these low taxes would be overflowing with money and would be able to take care of the citizens and make the country grow and thrive and do all these wonderful projects of infrastructure and all like that, I think everyone would be thrilled to pay as little taxes as possible. So it's not necessarily a belief system, but what we do is we decide to believe it irrespective of what is really happening. So there are facts out there, but apparently we just can't get to them because the personalities that we choose to believe in tell us something and tell us that don't believe your eyes. Now, I was talking to someone about the unions, and I'm saying, well, we should – this is so I would say I want the teachers' union to be broken up. I don't believe in tenure. I think teachers should be able to be fired. Again, this is a more centrist, more conservative position. But the people on the left would say that's absurd. That's crazy. That's wrong that you can't do that, that you don't value teachers and all of these things. Again, why would people say these things? We all have children in school. People know what it's like to have a bad teacher. I know a lot of people who won't send their children to public school, even though it's certainly a huge financial strain to send them to private school. Why wouldn't they say, yes, we should get away with tenure and let teachers be fired? Why would they vote against their interests? Because people tell them this would destroy public schools, and people tell them certain things. And or I would say we should do the voucher system, and then say, well, people would say, well, then public schools would no longer be viable. So the answer is, well, are you saying that if the public schools had competition, everyone would freely choose the competition as opposed to the public schools? And because public schools, no one would want to go to them, that we should save them? It doesn't seem to make any sense to me, right? And so, again, this isn't necessarily a political position. Is why do people vote against their interests? Why do people in Arkansas or Alabama not vote for a national minimum wage when they are getting $7 or, you know, $8 an hour when they could be getting 10 or 15? Why would they vote against their interest? Again, it doesn't make – if you think about that, it's almost like they take pride in the fact that they don't – they're not a person who believes in big government, right? They don't want the government help. It's a fascinating thing that it's almost a sense of they want to have their dignity. They don't want, I think we've been kind of convinced that we just don't want to be like babysat by the government. We don't want to be sucking at the teat of the government. And so people have this fiercely, Americans have this fiercely independent streak. And I'm just suggesting, I wish people would think about it on both sides of the aisle. On both sides. We talked about Barry Bonds earlier, right? I remember when George W. Bush was president, you know, it was clear to me that he was not a bright man. And yet people on the right wanted to think that he was really smart, even though when he opened his mouth, it was nonsensical many, many times. And so when his handler said, well, he's just plain spoken, people of that ilk, of that persuasion on the right wanted to believe that. And they wanted to believe, because he was a Christian and a believer, that he was being guided by certain things. And yet, when you think about it and you look at it, if you look at it with your eyes and not through what you want to believe, the truth is right there always for us to see. We know that the truth is always there for us to see in our personal relationships. You meet someone, you're having dinner with them, and they're looking at a woman's looking at this guy, making eyes at him, or this woman or a man's looking at girls when she walks by. And we want to believe that this guy's just, oh, he's just looking. He's not really some kind of a bad guy who's going to cheat on me. Or if when he does cheat on you, oh, he just did this once. And we want to believe these things because we feel, okay, I just want things to be okay. I want to believe that the things that people are telling me, whether it's Ted Cruz, whether it's Hillary Clinton, whether it's Rush Limbaugh, I want to believe them because they speak like they're so certain. We're so anxious to have someone take care of us, and at the same time, we have this fiercely independent streak. Right? People will say on the right, don't let government, take care of your health care. You don't want to have death panels. But what do you think a call center in Blue Cross has that's based out of India or Bangladesh or Wisconsin, some call center in the middle of nowhere, and I'm trying to get a procedure done, and I have to call some call center to get it okayed? Isn't that the same thing? And isn't Blue Cross or Blue Shield or Aetna or Pacific Care, don't they have a profit motive as well? aren't they motivated not to give me services? Well, people say that government's inefficient. Of course government's inefficient. But then again, so is the private sector. We see this all the time with BP and the oil spill, or what happened just 10 years ago with the financial sector, all private industry, almost bankrupted our country. We hear of businesses going under all the time, private businesses. So no one's perfect here. So why are we so against the government businesses? It's an interesting thing. At least no one who's running the government industry gets, you know, $50 million a year the way they do with CEOs of the Fortune 500, right? These people, irrespective of what they do, will get $30, $40, $50 million a year, $1 million a week, $150,000 a day. And yet we want them not to pay any taxes. It's fascinating to me. It's fascinating how we want to believe that we have all this, like we want to believe, we want to be one of the 1%. We want to be, and we don't want anyone getting in our way. You know, it's this hope that we have when we go to Vegas, right? We hope we're going to go play the slots, and we just hope that we get the progressive jackpot, that our life becomes easy, that things are taken care of. The psychology of people, and this is so true, when you look at what people tell us, that the information that we ingest and what we want to believe, do we want to believe in our leaders? We really do want to believe that the people are telling us the right thing. If lower taxes, if we got taxes to as low as possible, and our country would bring in more money than ever, and we would grow and we would build our infrastructure, I'm all for that. I'm not interested in paying more taxes. I don't think anybody is. We know that when you look at like the gun debate, again, it's the same kind of thing. We know that the more guns we have, the more deaths we have, the more that we hurt someone that we love, that they're usually used. You know, there are statistics here, right? There are things that are truthful, that we know to be true, and yet we don't want someone telling us what to do. I am not going to be that person. I get to have this semi-automatic, you know, gun. I should be able to do that. I should be able to have guns with magazines that hold 100 rounds, because that's what I want to do. I just want to target shoot, and we want to believe people. So even though we know when we read the statistics, and it's this idea of, I don't want anyone telling me what to do. No one. It's this idea that we know what's best. It's really how a lot of us find self-esteem. And maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just answering my own question, that when we feel so helpless, why people vote against their interest, and we feel, because I know I'm in charge of my life, right? I'm in charge of my life, and we want to believe that. Right? Walmart said, we can't raise the prices. We don't have the money. Now, I did the calculations. I may be off, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. That the CEO of Walmart made $22,000 an hour last year. And I know how many employees Walmart has, and if the CEO went down to $12,000 or $13,000 an hour as opposed to $22,000, every employee of Walmart could make $15 an hour. But the people in that area they don't want an increase. They will vote against it. In a way, I respect that. I do. It's a state that people have. It's almost religious. We see it, you know, when we watch evangelical, you know, things on television where people are just, you know, hands in the air. I believe in this, whether it's Christ or whatever it is, my problems will go away. That when things happen, good, that the good things happen, it's because I believed, and when bad things happen, it's because I didn't believe enough, or it's a lesson to be learned. So whatever happens, it's explained by deity that we believed in. It's kind of a desperate way of living. It's hard to be successful and happy, to find truth in our lives. We really do need to become a free thinker. We need to not be an ideologue. People now say, people, my friends on the right say, Gary, you've gotten to be such a liberal. I'm really not. What I tell them is, I'm really a centrist, but what's happened the last 15 years is that the Republican Party has moved so far to the right that being where I am, which is basically kind of a moderate centrist, has looks to be a super liberal now. So, it's more we've gotten so good at pulling on our heartstrings. We've gotten so good at being self-righteous and evangelical. We've gotten so good at manipulating people. Everything's a reality show now. Everything pulls at your heartstrings. Any kind of singing show or dancing show, there's a sob story that my mother or my father died or my sister has MS or something, and we're trying to find it, this, and this will be the best thing that's ever happened to my family. And everything pulls at your heartstrings, draws us in. I get it. I'm in the feeling business. My suggestion is that we become free thinkers, that we forget about labels, Democrat or Republican. Why do you want drugs to be illegal? Right? Let's think about it. Let's not just feel that they're bad. I get it. And you may decide that you don't want drugs to be legal, but let's think about it. Let's think about it. What is the best way to think about taxes and government involvement in things and healthcare? What would work the best? Americans feel like we're the best in everything. And if you look at the statistics, we're really down. Our healthcare results when we had no Obamacare was like 37th in the world. As far as where we are in science and math, it's really, really awful. We've been at war, I think, for 225, 222 out of our 226 years. I mean, we are a wonderful, amazing country, but we're also a flawed country. It's citizens that need to be evolved. We need to not believe me, not to believe Sean Hannity, not to believe Laura Ingraham, Bill O'Reilly, Barack Obama, or Bobby Jindal or Jeb Bush. We need to believe. We need to listen. We need to listen and to try to understand and to try to make a decision based on our thoughts. I'm not saying that we totally just get rid of our feelings, but we need to be thinkers and we need to be open to the other person's position. Well, I could go on. There's so much here that I find just fascinating. I do think that on the macro level and the micro level, that psychology impacts so many things, from who we fall in love with to who we watch on television, to who we vote for, to how we live our lives. Well, thank you for listening. I always want you to tell people about this podcast. It's always my honor to be able to reach out to you and to have you listen. Till next time, this is Dr. Gary Penn. Be well.